Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Rex Road is live from Indianapolis for the NFL Combine. He's off doing some NFL Combine stuff, so we'll catch up with Joe maybe a little bit later, maybe tomorrow.
Before with more stains on his shirt, probably.
It's been a tough start to the day for Rex Show. Yeah. He had the stains on his shirt. He had the inability to pack his own microphone. Apparently, there was no hot water available for him this morning.
I assume for coffee, right?
For coffee. So it's a struggle for Joe Rex Show to this point to start the week in the NFL Combine, which is, I think, potentially his least favorite week of the entire year. So a great start for Rex Road.
That or his birthday, right? Because he doesn't like his birthday either, which is really rude of himself to not like his own birthday.
Well, it is on December 31st, which is
mine's pretty close.
I know.
Mine's right there with him.
I'm just saying.
So, man, Joe just not having a great time in life. He has the privilege of covering the NFL and so many other grand sports, and he goes,
wow, Keiser's calling him out.
I don't want to be an Indy.
Be a little bit more grateful.
He should be.
Wow. You know who is having a great time? The Nashville Predators.
They are.
They've won five games in a row after the embarrassing loss to Dallas the last time they set foot on home ice, and they have swept the road trip. So they beat St. Louis, Vegas, L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim, and now have won five games in a row, find themselves back in a playoff spot, and now are staring down the barrel of a five-game homestand coming up. So you've taken care of business on the road, have beaten some good teams in order to do it, and then took care of some business against some bad teams these last two nights out in San Jose and Anaheim. And you got to be feeling good if you're a member of that team right now. Preds are at 66 points. They've won five in a row. They're 4 points ahead of St. Louis, 4 points ahead of Minnesota, and now 5 points ahead of the Calgary Flames, only 2 points back of the Kings. Now, the Kings have played in three less games than they have. St. Louis has played in two fewer games than the Predators have. So some games in hand on the Predators by the teams basically all around them in the standings right now. But what an impressive road trip, and what a job, what a response by the team. And look, you know, we were very critical, obviously, of the loss 9-2 against Dallas. It was embarrassing. I still think it was probably the worst performance that I've ever seen for them live at Bridgestone Arena. And now the charge is on them to come back home and find a way to play better. But you have to be happy with the road trip and the way that they played. And not only the wins, which are obvious, but how they did it. It was secondary scoring. It was good goaltending. It was smart decisions with the puck. You know, the power play really wasn't clicking at a high level. It's not like Philip Forsberg just totally took over on the road trip and carried them the wins, although he did score a few goals and played well. But I think the way that they won some of these games is how they have to win down the stretch here. And the fact that they were able to do it consistently night in and night out every game on this five-game road trip, I think is really encouraging. UC Saros played really well. Kevin Lankinen played really well. And there weren't, for the most part, just huge glaring mistakes, which I think have happened a little bit too often this year. You got to be feeling pretty good about the response of your team if you're Barry Trotz and Andrew Burnett heading back to Nashville today.
Yeah, and you should feel good about your assets, too, going into this trading deadline, because depth scoring was a really good strength of theirs on this trip. And seeing them play in St. Louis, I got the feeling that this was a much different group. The mentality had already shifted, because that was when they had already known that we're not going to Vegas early. We're not going to get the pleasure of this trip, whatever. So they move on. They, you know, reconciled with all of the feelings that they've had throughout this point in the season. And look what they've done. They've turned around on this one single trip and proved to each other, more importantly, that they are here and that they're going to try to fight till the very end, obviously. But I think the most important thing to me about this road trip, Robbie, was, yes, the depth scoring and the guys playing every single role that they possibly could. They never changed the lineup. And I think that that's a huge positive as well. Andrew Burnett has tended to change things up every now and then. Well, they didn't really have to do that at all last night, especially on the back half of a back-to-back. And the Preds have done pretty decent on those this year, surprisingly. But when you have 10 standings points go in your favor on a really long trip going out west. You outscore your opponents 22-10, by the way. And one other thing that I thought was really interesting, the Preds had the most goals for the entire trip come in the third period. So they closed out games.
Yeah, which has not been the case all year,
no,
by the way.
No, but
that's been their worst period.
Special teams has been a concern still for me because I thought it was worth, you know, throwing this in my tweet was that, I mean, look, power play 11%, your PK at 18%. I mean, it takes a slight jump after last night, but you go 0-4 last night. If you're the Preds on the power play against the Ducks, it's the Ducks. But anyway, they are still struggling in that way. I'm very curious to see how they adjust to that. And then again, the narrative, Robbie, it goes back to, okay, how can they do this at home?
Well, and to that point, with this 5-game winning streak, you're 18-10-2 on the road. So you've won eight games over 500 on the road. You were already over 500 on the road to begin the trip. So for the most part, they played pretty well on the road all year long. They're 14-15 at home. You got a losing record at Bridgestone Arena. That, number one, it's hard to explain that because the Predators, really throughout the history of their franchise, have been way better at home than they have been on the road. And now you're 14-15 at home. You're 18-10-2 on the road. Can you find a way to keep this thing going at home? Whatever it is at home that's been causing you so many issues all year long and some of the slow starts, some of the just, quite frankly, not being ready to play out of the gate, whatever it is, can you get that part of it figured out? But it's going to be really interesting to see where this goes from here because I do think, like, after the Dallas game, the trade deadline discussion was pretty easy. Like, you know, man, we're getting close to the trade deadline. You get beat 9-2 at home. And the fact that they flipped this around and have won 5 in a row, I think has made Barry Trotz's job pretty difficult moving forward. And maybe some people say it shouldn't be difficult and you should stay the course and continue to have the longer view in mind. But if they keep rolling off wins here before the deadline, I don't know how it couldn't affect it to some degree. Let's bring in Chase McCabe into the discussion. Chaser, good morning. How are we doing?
Doing well, Robbie. How are you? Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. So the Preds finish off the 5-game road trip last night against Anaheim. They win. They've won 5 in a row. They're on a heater coming back home. We just went over the difference between their road record and their home record. What did you make of what the Predators were able to accomplish on the road trip, and what stands out to you about how they did it, how they were able to get this done?
Well, I've started looking at concerts that they need to sign up for and then cancel because that obviously made a big difference. But no, I mean, the obvious thing for me, Robbie, is it was the secondary scoring. They weren't relying on Forsberg and O'Reilly and Nyquist to do all the work. Now, you still need the big guns to be the big guns, but and they kind of, what was interesting is they kind of went away scoring-wise for a little bit. They were setting up some stuff, but and then you've seen Forsberg over the course of the last couple of games. The Gus Bus, as I like to call him, got it going like with the empty netters. And they were, you know, you sit there and you go, oh, it was just an empty netter. They were clutch empty net goals. Like, those were ones that, you know, the other teams were fighting and they were kind of trying to get back into the games. And then he puts it in the back of the empty net and that seals it. And so those were real timely. But to me, it was a secondary scoring. The fact that you had other guys stepping up. Up and down the lineup, Kiefer Sherwood with a 2-goal night. That was what they're going to need to continue to do if they want to make the playoffs.
So, what does it all mean? Where do we go from here? What is the trade deadline implications of what the Predators have just done? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Preds riding a 5-game winning streak coming back home. They got 5 in a row. Going up at home as well. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Preds fans, don't miss Wednesday night's Smashville Live show at Brewhouse South in Cool Springs at 6 o'clock. See your Preds star players up close and personal, plus get autographs and pictures as well. This week's special guests, Michael McCarron and Dante Fabro. Smashville Live brought to you by the Black Abbey Brewing Company and ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Preds win 5 in a row on the road. They pull off the sweep on the road trip. They come back home taking on Ottawa tomorrow. at Bridgestone Arena. We're taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, what's wrong with this team, man? Like, they are so – give me some – like, I need to know which direction to go as a fan. Like, this is confusing to us because you get blitzed, probably the worst game I've ever seen before, and we're all talking about it, bagging on them. You go up 9 goals at home against Dallas and Duchesne, and then you go on the road like a hard Western, like, long-traveling series, and you sweep it. Like, I don't know what to think of this team, man. Like, I don't know if they're supposed to sell. I would still, like, lean towards that because right now Saros looks so good that you could probably get more for him. But, dude, I don't know. Like, this is the most confusing. Like, of all the sports and my favorite teams, this is the most confusing one I've ever had. That's where I'm at.
Yep, thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. And Chase, to
come
that
on,
point.
Come on, Adam, be positive, man.
I mean, they did win 5 in a row, but it does make it confusing, right? Like, so,
sure.
I mean, it felt like after the Dallas game that the direction was pretty clear. I mean, it's like, good Lord, if that's what they've got and that's how they're going to play when the game is of that magnitude, is that high and you lose 9-2, it kind of tells you everything you need to know. And then they've responded and have won 5 in a row since then. And it's interesting. Like, they have been basically all year long, Chase, either win a couple, lose a couple team, or win 3, lose 3. Other than that stretch in November, December, where they went 13-3 and looked really good and were just rolling off wins left and right. And now they put together another streak where they've won 5 in a row. So, Chase, if you're Barry Trotz and you're sitting here trying to gather all the information you can, and granted, there's still, you know, a couple of weeks left to evaluate and see how they respond at home here. But what are we thinking if you're Barry Trotz heading into these next couple of weeks here before the deadline?
Look, my phone is not on Do Not Disturb. I'm answering the phone. You know, I'm having conversations. Now, this road trip has changed my mindset. You know, I went into this, just me, Chase McCabe, going, the road trip's going to tell you the story on what they need to do. And Barry Trotz was on with Jared a few weeks ago. He's on every week. But a few weeks ago, he said, I look at it as 3-game increments, and we got to take 2 out of 3. Well, they just won 5 in a row. So that right there, I think, was even beyond his expectations. And now it's what can you do at home? Because they haven't been as strong at home this year. So they need to figure out how to do this at home. Now, if they show up tomorrow night and they play the way they did against, you know, the LA Kings or some of the St. Louis, some of these teams that they played on this road trip, Vegas, and they do that against Ottawa, and then they do it again Thursday night, and then they have a really tough test on Saturday against Colorado, and they're playing hard, playing well against them, then okay. Then maybe the plan you had a couple of weeks ago that you were taking those phone calls and you were willing to part ways with some things, maybe that has changed a little bit in Barry Trotz's mind. I still am not going to go into full-on buy mode, and I don't think he is either. I think he's going to – because you still have to look towards the future, right? You still have to continue that plan of knowing that this is a long-term plan. This is not – hey, the Nashville Predators are going to win the Stanley Cup in 2024. I don't think anybody realistically believes that. I know you get into the playoffs and anything can happen, but you still have to kind of look towards the future. And I don't envy him. That's a tough position to be in because you want to make the playoffs. It feels good to make the playoffs. It would be good to make the playoffs, but you can't sell the farm now because you don't have a full farm to sell.
Well, they got 5 games left before the deadline, so they're going to be at home the entire time. Once they get back to Nashville, which I assume is either happening today or they're flying back last night, one of the two, they're going to be home from now until the deadline. So you're not going anywhere. You got 5 games at home. And by the way, I mean, look, it's the NHL, so you have to play it out, and anything can happen. You got Ottawa coming up tomorrow night. Ottawa's not very good, although they've been playing better lately. But certainly a winnable game. You got a huge game against Minnesota Thursday. You brought up the Colorado game Saturday. And then after that, to close out the stretch here before the deadline, Montreal, who's not good, and Buffalo, who's not very good. And there's a lot of winnable games coming up for the Predators at home. I said, you know, the San Jose game was a huge maturity test for the group because you had gotten through the 3-game stretch where you had taken down St. Louis, Vegas, and L.A., some pretty good teams. Now, could you handle business against teams that you had no business losing to in the Sharks and the Ducks? And to their credit, they did. So that's step one of a test kind of pass there. Now against Ottawa tomorrow night, coming back home off of a road trip. Can you handle that? Like, there should be, and even though you've won five in a row on the road, that's great. There should be kind of an eagerness from this group tomorrow night to get back on home ice and right the wrong from the last time you stepped foot in front of your fans, which was about as embarrassing as it gets. And I think that's kind of the next part of that maturity test of, are you a mature enough team to come off the road trip and avoid just totally laying an egg at home again? Because I think if you do that, then the questions come right back up, Chase, of, okay, exactly what is this team and why can't they figure out a way to win and play well at home?
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some pride. That's what Hal and I were discussing last night on the broadcast of, you got to have a sense of pride, you know, coming back home, knowing that the last time your fans saw you, it was the worst game in franchise history. I mean, a lot of people are saying that, and I think it probably is. And so you got to come back and you got to show that you have pride and right those wrongs. But I will admit, I mean, that is tomorrow night is the one that I'm concerned about because they've been gone for so long. And, you know, we've talked about this before and it's nobody's fault. But what happens when you come home? Life is there. Like, you know, some of these guys they're married, they have families and, you know, there's home duties that they have to get to. And that all starts, and then you got to focus on hockey at the same time. You're tired. You're readjusting. There's all those reasons or excuses, but at the end of the day, and Andrew Burnett did this for over 1,000 games as a player.
Yeah.
He knows. Every scenario, that's the great part about this, and so does a lot of his coaching staff. Every scenario there is, they know because they've lived it. And so I know that they're going to be prepared for that. With this team, but maturity is the right word to use, Robbie, because it's still, you know, it's got veterans on it, but still there's youngsters that have never gone through this before, and so you need to see how they respond, and I hope it will be a good response.
So they've gotten themselves back in a playoff spot for the time being, and let's say you get a couple weeks down the road here, you get through this homestand, and you're still there. You're in a playoff spot, or maybe you're tied for one or 1 point out, whatever the case is. How does it affect what Barry Trotz does? I said this earlier. You know, look, I've been on team sell. I think, you know, the long-term view needs to supersede the short-term view. Now, having said that, like, if your team responds this way, I do think as a general manager, it forces you to consider things maybe that you weren't previously considering. And I'm with you. I don't know that I would expect Barry Trotz to all of a sudden become like some huge buyer at the deadline, but I do wonder if there are guys maybe after that Dallas game that he was thinking in the back of his mind, all right, it's time to start shopping and seeing what you can get for some of these guys, be that a Carrier, a Fabro, a Barry, a Novak, whoever it is. Are there guys now that they're playing well and they're winning and that those guys are producing that you say, you know what? I'm not moving them. We're going to hold on to them. We're going to see what we got. We're going to see what this group can do. And if you end up getting to the end of the year and you lose a couple of them for nothing, then so be it. I wonder if it changes his approach that way.
I mean, I wonder that too. And look, at the end of the day, if all of the good things happen like we're talking about, you know, how would we feel? Would we be surprised if they just end up standing pat? You know, if you know, he doesn't get offers that he likes, that he thinks are going to help the team in the now or in the future, and he ultimately just decides, I'm going to roll with what I got, and any moves that I'd consider making, I can make this summer. Or, you know, I mean, there'd be some guys that you're just going to lose if you don't re-sign them. But that's telling you that you weren't getting a big offer from them anyway. The one I'm curious about is Tyson Barrie. He's not been playing. You know, he obviously it was publicized. There was some frustration there with him.
Yeah.
He hasn't played to the way that people thought that he would. And so, you know, is he still trying to find, is Barry Trotz still trying to find a dance partner there to trade him? You know, are there teams that want his services? That one's going to be the one to watch. Tommy Novak, do they get re-signed? That's one that I think everybody's paying attention to. I I like Tommy Novak. I'd like to see them figure out a way to keep Tommy Novak, but the price in the term has to be right. I don't think you overpay. No offense to him, but $4 million per is not what I'm looking for, especially knowing that you're still planning for the future and you got a lot of dead cap that you're dealing with too from buyouts and trades and all of that.
Well, the Barry is the one that I feel like if somebody has a semi-decent offer for him, which, by the way, is not going to be very much at this point, I have no doubt they'll make the move. Like, he's just sitting there at this point. I think they're looking to move him. And the other part of this is, like, Barry Trotz, I think, is fully aware of how good Spencer Stastny is and how well he's playing down there. The kid's ready for the NHL, and Barry Trotz knows that. So I think at some point here coming down the stretch, he's going to be here, and he's going to be playing for this team.
The other one, too, real quick, Robbie, is if you've decided you're not going to trade Saros or the knock-your-socks offer hasn't come, do you then shift that to try and trade Lankanen and get something for him, knowing that you're probably ready to bring Askarov up?
Yeah, it's a great question. 615-737-1025, our phone number. What should the Predators do? How does this winning streak affect Barry Trotz's mindset heading into the deadline? We'll take your thoughts on all that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tomorrow as Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on Arkansas on the road. Pregame at 7:30, tip-off at 8 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds. They've won 5 in a row. Back at home tomorrow night, taking on the Ottawa Senators. I got a texter that says, trading Saros should have nothing to do with how they're playing right now. The team isn't a cup contender how it's currently built. If you get the right trade offer for Saros, you do it, since you likely have your next top goalie ready for the next step and you need skaters a Saros trade could bring. I do agree with him from this standpoint. Like, if you're entertaining the idea of trading UC Saros, if you're Barry Trotz, I do think you have to separate him from some of these other guys that we're talking about. Like, I think you can allow the way that your team is playing to influence whether or not you trade an Alex Carrier or influence whether or not you trade a Tommy Novak. Guys that are UFAs coming up that you're trying to figure out, are they going to be here? Are they not? Are you going to bring some of these guys back? How many are you letting go? I think Saros is different from the standpoint of, like, that trade is such a groundbreaking trade that if you get an offer that you feel like you need to do it, then you do it. And you don't worry about how the team is playing at the time, because the Saros trade is about the assets coming back in and setting yourself up for the future. And the same thing, like, if you don't get the offer that you're looking for, I don't think you just trade him for the sake of trading him by the deadline either. Like, it's a very kind of a delicate balance right now with the UC Saros part of this. And certainly with the way that he's played lately and with the way that they're playing as a team, I do think you look at it and you probably double down on your stance even more if you're Trotz from the standpoint of, yeah, if you want UC Saros, you're going to have to meet my demands. Otherwise, I don't have to trade him right now.
Right. So in your mind, I mean, my demands are pretty high. And based on what I know and what I think and all of those things, it's more than just give me 3 first-round picks and call it a day. Like, I need tangible assets coming back. I need, you know, prospects that are basically NHL ready or already in the NHL, and that I know are not necessarily, you know, you don't know if you're getting a Patrick Kane or, you know, Connor Bedard or whatever, but something pretty close, something that you know is going to help you for years to come. And those don't grow on trees. And if a team does have that, they're not going to want to part with it. And so that's why, you know, I think Barry Trotz has played this well. He's been pretty honest of, hey, I'm willing to listen, but this is going to be something that a team's not going to be comfortable doing. And so it just kind of is what it is, and it's probably going to result in Saros remaining here at least, you know, until the summer, and then things probably pick back up again. We know how it is with the draft and or if they decide, you know, they want to re-sign him or not. I mean, to me, they're in a win-win scenario right now because – the Predators have a premium on a position that teams would do a lot for. You know, I mean, you think about how many times have we said with an Edmonton or, you know, even the Kings or whatever, like, they have all this talent on at forward or defense, But it's like, man, if they just had a goaltender.
Right.
Well, the Predators have, you know, one that's a bona fide NHL goaltender in UC Saros. They have a really, really, really good backup that, you know, maybe could go be a fringe starter for a team in Lincoln. And then they have one of the top prospects in hockey that is going to be the goaltender of the future. So very, very strong at that position, which I think is a feather in Barry Trotz's cap.
I think so, too. And it does – I mean, at some point, the leverage flips, right? Like, you know, when you – I think Barry Trotz has got the leverage right now, and I think when it comes to holding strong to whatever his price is, I think right now you can definitely afford to do that. When you start to creep into the summer and he is eligible for a contract extension, like at some point a decision is coming up here for the Predators, and you've got to make it. And whether that's extending Saros and giving him a long-term deal or whether that's deciding not to do that and riding with Askarov moving forward, like it is interesting, like when exactly is the point where that leverage starts to flip? Because right now if you're a team and you go trade for UC Saros, it's two postseason runs that you've got a chance at guaranteed, right? It's this year's, and then he's under contract next year. So you've got two opportunities with him, and then you can also try to extend him to another contract after that. You know, if he gets to the summer and he's eligible for a contract extension, I think that's when the leverage starts to flip a little bit, because at that point, if you're Barry Trotz, you got to make a decision. Like, yeah, you know, are you extending him or are you not extending him? And if you're not extending him, what does that mean in terms of his trade value? So I agree with you. He can do this right now. He can – thank you, Nick. He can do this right now and hold strong to his price. But I do think there is a moment coming where you're going to have to make a decision one way or the other if you're Barry Trotz.
The question is, when is that moment?
Exactly.
I don't even know if he knows that. But you're right. I mean, you're going to have to come to that conclusion at some point. And that's where I don't envy him. I mean – and I hear fans when they're going, well, why can't they just have what happened before? And, you know, Pecorine was the starter and UC Saros was the backup for a few years. And then there was a natural, you know, passing of the torch. The big difference that I think people lose sight of, and I've heard you say this and I've said it too, Pecorine was a lot older.
He's 34.
Right. Pecorine was a late bloomer in this league. And Saros was, I think, 21 when he got his first call up. Askarov is now 21. So and
Saros is 28.
Saros is 28.
It's a big difference.
And yeah, so you're not going to – that would be great. It would be awesome if the Nashville Predators could be the Green Bay Packers and, you know, just keep finding Hall of Fame quarterbacks and, you know, just have them stacked on top of one another. But that's not how it works. And I just don't see that being a scenario here. And quite frankly, I think it would be bad if Barry Trotz tried to force that, because then you're losing the opportunity to gain more assets by trading one of those goaltenders. And I think he knows that. So you got to think of the good of the team. And right now you're in a position to add more to your team if you were to part with either UC Saros or Askarov. And get some of those assets back.
I'm kind of ruling out the idea that they buy at the deadline. Is yeah. that too much of an assumption on my part? Let's say they keep winning, and maybe they don't win every game, but let's say they roll off, I don't know, three of the next five here, and you get to a situation at the deadline where you're looking at the team if you're Barry Trotz, and you say, you know what? They've won 8 out of their last 10 games. They're firmly in a playoff spot right now come deadline time. Not a huge buy. Like, I'm not saying they're going to go out and spend a first-round pick.
Well, that was going to be my question. Define buy.
Let's say you give up a third rounder for a middle six forward. Would you be okay with that?
See, honestly, I don't think I would, because, again, I'm thinking you're ahead of schedule, right?
Yes.
Like, can we agree on that? That the Predators are ahead of schedule right now. And so that's great. That's good. That's the sprinkles on top right now. To me, you still don't get off schedule of thinking for the future, because, you know, I would love to see this team make the playoffs. I'd love to see them go on a run. We would all love to have 2017 happen over again. But you also have to be realistic in that this team, while they have been consistent over the last five games, They've also been pretty inconsistent at spurts during the season. It's been up and down.
Yep.
It's been the definition of a team in transition and a team with, you know, that you're rebuilding a core. And so you have to consider that. And you can't just all of a sudden go, well, you know what? We're in a playoff spot, so let's just go ahead and act like, you know, we're going to win the cup and let's just go for it. I don't think that would be smart, and I don't think Barry Trotz is thinking that way. So to me, a you know, if you added a player, if you trade a Tyson Barry and, you know, you got a little something back that's maybe a bottom six or something, you know, you're swapping that, then I don't consider that a buy. If, you know, maybe you trade a later pick and you're just adding depth, I don't consider that a buy. That I think is okay, but I'm not going out there talking to teams and going, hey, I'm going to give you a second or whatever, you know, give me this guy. Especially because with the cap going up, I think you're going to see some trades with guys that still have term. It's not going to be just expiring contracts. Now, the only thing that I'll say that I might, you know, dispute myself on is with the cap space that the Predators have, you know, if there's a contract out there that so many teams are tight on cap space that maybe Barry's willing to take, you know, a bigger contract to help a team out on the stretch run that, you know, is a player that's not necessarily going to put you over the top and win you the cup, but is not a bad player, then he might consider that. But that's a little bit different because I think you have more leverage where, hey, this guy's making a ton of money. You need to clear the cap space, so I'm not going to give you as much for him.
Yeah, that's a really interesting part of this too. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Like, I think over the next couple of years here, as the Predators are turning this roster over, and you're hoping some of the young guys come up and become big pieces of what they're trying to build, I still think you need to leave yourself enough flexibility, number one, from an asset standpoint, and number two, from a cap standpoint, to where there, if there is an opportunity to strike with some of these game-changing forwards, and sometimes it happens where they become available and you can get in there and make a trade, you need to position yourself to do it. And yeah, we saw it a couple years ago with Matthew Tkachuk. He informed Calgary, hey, I'm not signing again with you guys, and they were able to execute a trade. It doesn't happen often where some of these game-breaking guys become available, but it does happen, and you need, right, you need to position yourself to take advantage of that if you're the Predators when that time comes.
Yeah, and that's different. That's a different scenario. If you have an opportunity to get one of those guys, then okay.
Well, and that's not going to happen at this deadline.
Yeah, probably
I don't think.
But, I mean, that would, if it did, that would change your mind.
For sure. No question about that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the Rob Rant. You can check it out every morning here on the program. I got some things going on at the gym that are about to drive me insane. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
And then here we go. Let's go.
It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program, either the Rex Rant or the Rob Rant. That's one of my favorite ones.
I never know what I'm going to hear with
this. It's pretty amazing.
Where's Creed?
That is a good question. You hadn't used Scott Stapp in a while.
You mean Cream Bratton Chase?
What's going on?
Yes, that one. Look, the Scott Stapp thing is a gift that keeps on giving, but you got to use it in doses.
Well, Suit, when is it going to become a sweeper?
That's a good question. I can work on that.
Yeah, we'll get it figured out. Don't worry. Nick, you just worry about playing.
I will.
Don't play an audio when I'm talking in the middle of a segment.
our screen is out.
Let's worry about that.
Our screen is out. I apologize.
Don't be blaming it on other people.
Hey, at least I didn't have another update. There you go.
That's true. All right. I have a couple things here, Chase. One is just simply a question, which I'll get into here in just a few minutes. The other, I've got to find a way to put a stop to. So I tried to, you know, go to the gym. I try to get there 3 or 4 times a week. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But everybody, look, you work out, and there's a locker room that you go into. You work out hard enough. You need a shower after you work out. I have no problem with any of that. If you want to take your time and shower at the gym, sometimes I do that, which is great. I counted in there while I was in there the other day because it was happening to me again. Got a bad habit up there in Hendersonville of there being 8 available showers in the gym locker room. 8 of them. That's a pretty good amount. 8 available showers. I was the only one. So 7 of the 8 showers were available besides me, kind of right in the middle of the floor. I'm doing it the other day. And all of a sudden, this guy just walks into the one directly next to me. Just gets in the shower. Directly in the stall, directly next to mine. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, we got 8 available showers here, dude. I've taken one of them. That means there's 7 left.
Oh, no.
And they're all at the end down there. Why are you hopping in the shower next to me? I do not want water from you slinging your body parts all around coming over on me, man. I don't want it. I don't want it, man. There's a lot of things in my life that I want. That's not one of those things. It's very reminiscent of the urinal discussion.
Yep, that's what
one's a party, 2's a crowd. Stay away from me, man. If you got open urinals, go find someone that's not directly next to mine. So this is a problem with the shower that we got to get figured out. If there are open showers that is not directly next to another human being in the gym locker room, please, for the love of God, find another shower that's not directly next to mine. I don't think that's too much to ask, but apparently it is, Chase, because it's becoming a severe epidemic at my gym that I attend.
Look, I like to call these major violations. This is a major violation, an absolute violation. It's just, and the urinal thing is the perfect example of you walk in and like you're the only one in there and you go to the stall right next to you. Like, what are you doing? And I have actually called somebody out for that before. Been like, hey, I know I'm great and everything, but you're in the bubble and I don't need you in the bubble right now. Do we think that this is just tunnel vision on this gentleman's part, that he just wasn't paying attention and just was focused and saw the open shower and went for it, or what do we think was going through his mind here?
You know, I don't know. It's a good question. I would probably lean more towards tunnel vision had this not continued. It's happened to me 3 times in the last 3 weeks.
Oh,
and
no.
It's not the same person every time, because if it was, like, I might have to open the door and flatten somebody. But I feel like there's a little bit of a laziness element to it. Like the shower that I was in is closer to the hallway, so maybe they just don't want to walk all the way down to the end. So maybe the charge is now on me to just go to the end of the hallway when there's available showers and run like a test, kind of an experiment here, and make sure nobody follows me.
Yeah, no, I would try that.
But either way, it needs to be stopped. The other thing is just a question that I have, and I don't know the answer. So I'm going to throw it out to you, and I'm going to throw it out to the general public. Is the gym bathroom an acceptable place to shave your face? Is it an acceptable place to bring your shaving equipment from home and stand there at the sink and shave your face? Is that an acceptable thing to do at a gym bathroom? I've never, full disclosure, I have not done it. I don't shave very often anyway. But I've never seen anybody under the age of like 60 do this. So it could very well be a generational thing. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. My initial reaction when I see it is like, really? Like, this is the place? You don't think this could be better served at home? But maybe I'm wrong. What is it? Is the gym bathroom an acceptable place to shave your face?
No.
Thank you, Liam. I think there's a couple of, you got to ask yourself a couple of questions. Now, I probably would not do it because, again, I'm like you. I have a beard, and so I don't have to do something every day. So I can look at it as if I'm taking a shower at the gym, then I'm probably going to – I can work on my beard, you know, at home. I don't have to worry about it. Now, if you're one of those people that does shave every day and this shower is your morning shower because you've decided to go to the gym in the morning and then you're going to do your shower routine at the gym – and then go to work, then that's probably a different situation. But you're saying you haven't really seen that.
No, not much. Like, it's just like you pull up to the gym bathroom with your shave. I mean, this one guy had like this whole bag, and there's like, you know, 25 disposable razors in there and some shaving cream. I was like, man, this guy's ready. He's ready for any type of shaving that you could possibly want to do. I had people commenting, you know, I put this on Facebook over the weekend, and people were like, yeah, I've seen some people like do this in the sauna, which is just a major violation. You can't be shaving any part of your body in the sauna or the steam room. It's disgusting. But with the gym bathroom, I am open to just being wrong here. Like, that's a legitimate question I have for our listeners. Is that acceptable behavior?
This is a tough one. This is a very tough question. I'm going to say that if you're just like shaving your face and you don't have a beard and you're not doing the beard trimmer and getting hair everywhere and all that stuff, I'll allow that, but face only. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Face only.
Yeah, for sure. Got a texture that says absolutely not. Robert in Spring Hill says shaving in a public gym shower bathroom? Hell no. Jules on the text line says yes, an acceptable place to shave your face. I do it all the time. Had another texture that says as long as you clean up after yourself is acceptable. So it's a split back here on the text line.
That's key. I guess the thing that would be the gross factor is just that, you know, you're leaving hair behind, right?
Right.
But, I mean, you still need to kind of, like, if you brush your teeth, you want to wash the sink out too, right? You don't want to leave anything. Right. Like, so, I mean, it's kind of the same principle in my mind that, you know, if you're doing something like that in a public bathroom, you need to be a little extra in cleaning up after yourself.
Chase, this has been a nice therapy session for me. I feel better. I'm hopeful that we can be a little bit more responsible with the way we're choosing showers at the gym. That's my hope to come from all this. Just a public service announcement.
I agree, and I'm glad you feel better.
Yes, thank you very much. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Corey Curtis from News 2. We'll get his thoughts on the Predators' winning streak and the NFL Combine underway this week. What are we most curious to learn from Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan? All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.